Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. You have tuned in to another exciting show of the Gifts of Freedom radio show. I am your show's host, Mr. Jamal Brown. I'd like to give a special shout-out to the show's producer and all-around superwoman who makes things happen for us every week, none other than author, historian, memorabilia collector, Miss Leslie Gist. Today is Sunday, June 12th. The black fact of today is civil rights worker Medgar Evers was shot to death in his driveway in Jackson, Mississippi on this date in 1963. You can find more interesting and enlightening black history facts by just visiting www.black365.us. All right. We have, as I mentioned earlier, another exciting show for you. We are blessed with the opportunity to have on the line with us none other than the woman who wrote and stars in the one-woman show known as Harriet's Return. Harriet's Return is a play that depicts the life of none other than Miss Harriet Tubman. That awesome actress, awesome writer that I'm speaking of is none other than Miss Karen Meadows. Miss Meadows, are you on the line with us?
I am.
Fantastic.
And thank you for the lovely introduction.
Oh, man, it was an understatement. I was looking for some more adjectives to speak to how great you truly are. Miss Karen, if you don't mind, I like to always start off with asking the question, who is? So who is Miss Karen Meadows?
Wow. I am obviously a playwright and actress. I am a healing artist is actually the terminology that I use for myself most of the time. Everything that I've done is always with an intention of uplifting and enlightening and helping us, meaning humanity, evolve and be our full selves and enjoy life here, which isn't always that easy, but that is the intention.
Awesome. That is the healing artist, huh?
Yes.
Wow, you might need to get that copywritten. I know some folks listening on the line might be trying to steal that, put it on a T-shirt or something.
Well, you know, it took me a while to come up with who I am and what I do. And, you know, I'm a writer, I'm an actress, I'm an intuitive medium. I do workshops. I'm an arts and education specialist. And I wanted something that was an umbrella for all of that. And that's how I came to healing artists. That's
awesome.
Really what I do.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. What hat, if you had to pick one, which hat fits the best? Do you like wearing the most?
It's hard. I mean, I feel like I've been blessed with a lot of gifts, and I need to use them all.
I hear you.
I I love writing. It's interesting because I love acting, which I'd forgotten until I got back into performing Harriet. And I love doing the intuitive readings because it helps people immediately. And that mm-hmm. is something that, you know, with writing and acting, there's process, process, and more process before you get to a cultivated ending that can help people. With the intuitive readings, it's that day, that moment. And so I love that, too. So, wow, pick one.
Intuitive readings. You must educate me and also those of us in the listening audience. What exactly is an intuitive reading?
Well, I've been able to, I can read energy. I can read the spirit of people.
Okay.
And I help them to understand what they're guided to do and what's in their best interest and to answer questions about their lives. And I've been able to do it always, but when I was young, I'd know what was going to happen before it happened, which wasn't necessarily comfortable, so I kind of dropped it. But all throughout my life, it's been an ability. And actually, in 1986, I started actively learning how to tap into this intuition, which we all have.
Right,
you know, the thing
right.
that says, turn left, turn right, don't do that, run.
That is some pretty deep stuff. That is some pretty deep stuff.
But
I
it's a gift we all have. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
I understand you got some more shows coming up. Let's jump back to that real
quick. Sure, yeah.
But Harriet, how did you discover that you wanted to portray the life of Harriet? And, yeah, why did you choose her?
Well, it started when I lived in North Carolina, and I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the Afro-American Cultural Center was there at the time, and they asked me, they commissioned me to create any characters I wanted to for performances in schools and in organizations, churches, theaters, wherever. And I chose Phyllis Wheatley, Lorraine Hansberry, Queen Nzinga, and Harriet Tubman. And I did the research about their lives, and I extemporaneously, I did the research about their lives, the period, and just all of that, and then I would extemporaneously perform. And they went from 20 minutes to an hour and a half, depending upon the audience and the circumstances. And then later, Ron Milner, who was in Detroit at the time, is an amazing playwright, and had a theater, asked me to write a children's version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I figured I could do it pretty easily, but it had been a while since I was performing, and I found I had to do research, which then let me said, well, if I'm going to do the young people's version, I'm going to do a general audience version too, and that's how we got to Harriet's Return as it is now.
Yeah. Awesome.
So it was a long journey, but a great one.
That is awesome. I doubt that there is anyone in the listening audience who doesn't know who Harriet Tubman is, but in the small estimation that there may be one or two, give us a quick rundown or a quick overview on who Harriet Tubman is and was
okay.
and is.
Harriet Tubman is the most celebrated of the Underground Railroad workers. And the Underground Railroad, just in case people don't know, is it was a series of people and homes and a network that helped enslaved people escape and get to their freedom, their physical freedom. And she led 19 journeys for people coming out and freed 300 people in that process, and including many of her family members, including her parents, actually, and that's in the play. And she went on then to become an entrepreneur. She had 25 acres of land. The land is still up there in Auburn, New York. Part of it she's given to the AME Church. She was very active in the AME Church. And I went there. I actually performed a fundraiser for the Harriet Tubman Home in Auburn, New York. And I got to actually go through her house, which is unusual, but I got to do it. I'm whispering as though no one will know after I finish. And I also went. She has this beautiful stream, and I went past there, and she had the John Brown Infirmary and a cookhouse, a bakery, a laundry. And she helped to educate people. She sent money to people all over. She was amazing. She was an amazing, amazing person who felt that everyone had the right to be free and to pursue whatever made them have a sense of their own well-being. She also had the home for indigent and I can't get the name right, because I have a line in the play that's a play on words, and so I'm confusing the two. But she had a home for people who were homeless, basically, and needed to take care of themselves. It's this play on words that I don't want to do now because it's in the play. And so she had that. She was a visionary. You know, we always see her. She's always portrayed as stoic and tough and kind of manly. Mm-hmm. But she was such a well-rounded person. She was married, which people don't think about.
To a brother named John.
Yes, John. Mm-hmm. And that's one name, actually. There's another name.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's right. People don't know that. Mm-hmm. She had another husband named Nelson.
Okay.
Nelson Davis. And she loved life. She loved exploring. She loved to travel. And she knew she was free in her soul from the first second, her first breath.
From the very beginning.
Exactly. It's about getting the physical match to the imagined and knowing wisdom that was within her.
That was the trick to it all. Mm-hmm. You mentioned something highly interesting to me. You said that you had an opportunity to visit her home.
Right.
If you could share with us, take us on that trip. Let us be the fly on the wall.
Okay.
And just describe that whole experience.
All right. Well, it was wonderful. It was the 30th pilgrimage to her home. And I got to go, as I said, and I did a fundraiser. I did the play as a fundraiser. And it's a historical landmark now. It's in Auburn, New York. And the house is being renovated, and the property is under the process of an excavation to find out all that they can about what was going on at the time and what was there.
Wow. What does the house look like?
It's a small house. It's interesting because Harriet was small. People don't know that. She was tiny. And her house was tiny. She had tiny little steps and tiny little stove.
Wow.
There. But what's interesting, I had a vision of her furniture when I was writing the play. This was obviously prior to going there. And I always saw it as red velvet, and that's what it was.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. And then some tables and things that are there. She had a medal and a silk shawl that Queen Victoria sent her, which were lifted.
The Queen of England?
I'm sorry?
The Queen of England?
Yes, the Queen of England sent her ticket and a medal and a silk shawl. You know, she's celebrated throughout the world. Everybody knows her. Everybody knows her. And my concern is, I say if everybody knows her, a lot of our young people don't.
Don't, unfortunately.
The mission here is for them to know our history, because we have to teach it to them. But it was great being there, and I got to plant some flowers. They were creating a garden, so I planted some flowers while I was there.
That is pretty deep. Give us, you mentioned the red velvet. What else did you see? Were there Bibles? Were there books? Were there guns? What sort
there
of other
books,
things?
No guns. I didn't see any guns.
Okay.
The stove is still there. You know, the black cast iron stove is there. I'm trying to remember everything. I mostly remember that it was narrow, and it was, you know, wooden. The floors were wooden planks. And it was a small house. The Home for Aged and Indigent Negroes is the name of the house that most people get to go into. And you can go. It's a museum, so you can go through there. And the people who run it, it's a minister and his wife, and his name will come to me before I finish this.
Okay.
Carter, that's his name, are wonderful. And they can take you on a tour. And then I've also gotten to know her nieces. One is Geraldine. And the other one is, oh my gosh, Miss Mrs. Copes Johnson. I can't think of her first name right now, but it's Copes Johnson. And she's a curator there. And so the family is around. The family is there. The family is in Baltimore and also in Canada, because she lived in Canada,
very
in
nice.
St. Catherine. And then I went to her cemetery site, her grave site. And this is an interesting story. When she was buried, they didn't have a lot of money, so they put a little twig as a marker. And that is the largest tree in the cemetery now. It's massive. It hovers over everything. It's incredible. And since then, a plaque and a headstone, and there's an there's the Black Nationalist flag and an American flag, and I'm trying to think what else is there. She was buried with military honors because she was a spy,
mm-hmm.
and she led troops. She was a strategist as well, and some people don't know, most people don't know she was a strategist during the Civil War. And she helped John Brown plan Harper's Ferry. She was friends with Frederick Douglass and Sojourner Truth and Mrs. Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
She had, you know, she was amazing. And as I said, she made 19 trips south after she came north, and she was introduced to William Still.
Mm-hmm.
And she went, but the first journey back was to meet her sister and get her husband.
Right.
And
tell,
so, yeah.
tell us the story about John, if you know. I want to see if we know the same story.
Okay.
About how she went back to get John. However, John feared that she was dead and was remarried. Do
right.
you have the same understanding? Uh-huh.
Yes, and that's in the play. That's in the
okay.
play. John, she went back to get John, and John was remarried to Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have met some descendants of his.
Wow.
Who came to see the show when I was in Alabama. I was at the Alabama Shakespeare Festival. And they loved it, which was great. I really tried to write John so that we'd understand
mm-hmm.
that he, I mean, of course, we're all rooting for Harriet, and it's a love story the way that I've done it.
Uh-huh.
But he had a sensibility, and he was acculturated according to being indoctrinated by those who, although he was free, he wasn't truly free.
Right.
So those who told him what was good and what was bad and what was right and what was wrong. And so he remarried, which literally broke her heart.
Mm-hmm.
And but it also had a lot to do with why she made 19 trips back.
While she continued to do the good work, right?
Exactly.
let me just fast forward the story for those. She went back to go free John, found that John was remarried. And feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. And John mentioned, you know, I have this new wife and I want to, you know, proceed with my life with her. From what I read, said that Harriet said she wanted to go in and shoot up the whole place, right? She wanted to, you know, a
yeah.
woman scorned.
Mm-hmm.
she was hurt, wanted to kill John, wanted to kill Carol, decided not to, and like you said, decided to continue to do the good work.
Right.
Unfortunately, later, not too far after that, John got into an argument with some white men on the side of the road
mm-hmm.
and was shot and killed.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
And it's in the play. All of that is in the play, including Harriet's bad attitude about having a new woman in his life.
That's right. That's right.
And I pulled
right.
it from the reality of all of us who've had a bad attitude about whomever.
tell us briefly, how was John able to be free? And what state were they in?
They were in Maryland.
Maryland, correct.
And quite frankly, at the moment, I don't remember how John was free.
Okay.
He, my recollection, which isn't that great, because the history, I remember now what I have to remember. I've studied for years. I'm not exaggerating, years. And I don't remember how John came to be free, but he was. And I'm going to quickly see if I can find it. But I
don't remember either my history.
I'm
going through my mental Rolodex as well. I can't.
When I'm performing, I always see him as he's always been free, and that's why he's
me
got
too,
an
for
attitude.
Some reason.
He's got an attitude, and that's probably what it is. I don't want to declare that because I'm not sure.
Right.
I do want to say the plays at Luna Stage Company, which
okay.
is in Orange, New Jersey, West Orange, New Jersey, because I always say Orange is West Orange, New Jersey. And it's a wonderful theater and a wonderful company, and so I'm really honored and pleased to be there. And that's this weekend, the 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Awesome. How did you land this show in this great venue?
Well, you know, I'm lucky enough. I used to live in Montclair, New Jersey.
Okay.
And at that time, Luna Stage Company was beginning, and it was in Montclair, New Jersey. They have evolved 2,000,000% since, you know, they first started, as all things do, if they have the right intention, the right administration, and the soul of creativity, which they do. And so I contacted them, and they were very excited about it. And it's part of a special Juneteenth celebration, as
awesome.
Well as Father's Day weekend. So we've, you know, they really tied it in, and so I'm excited. Yeah, I've been touring with the play in various places, but this is my first time in New Jersey. The play was in New Jersey without me many years ago at Crossroads with Trezana Beverly, and she was amazing. But this is my first time performing it here. And it's different than it was at that time because it's evolved. And I've added some scenes, but Trezana was off the hook fabulous. And Vikon directed
it. Before we forget, give us the contact information for the Luna Theater and also those dates once again, please.
Okay. It's Luna Stage Company. And you can go online to lunastage.org. The phone number is 973-395-5551. And the play is on Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. this coming weekend, the 17th and 18th, and on Sunday at 3 p.m.
Awesome.
And it makes a great Father's Day event, I think.
Certainly, certainly. And that website again was Luna, L-U-N-A, stage.org.
Yes.
Awesome.
And also, I forgot mine. You can also go to mine, which is Karen Jones Meadows, KarenJonesMeadows.com, and go to events, and you can find the information there and go over to the other and find out some other things, too.
Sounds good. You mentioned Juneteenth a little while earlier. Educate us, those in the audience who may not know, what is Juneteenth?
Okay, Juneteenth is, it used to be a uniquely African-American celebration of something that wasn't very joyous, and that is after the emancipation, it took 2.5 years for people in Texas, and Galveston in particular, to find out about it. And there's several versions about why it was delayed, but the one that I think is probably true is they wanted to get the most out of the enslaved people as possible, so they kept them there in the dark. So once they were freed, some people left, some people stayed. Now, Juneteenth is celebrated throughout the world, in Nigeria, in Afghanistan, Korea, Japan, Australia. I mean, unbelievable. Israel, Trinidad. I mean, everywhere people celebrate Juneteenth. And I think that's amazing. I think it's wonderful. And I was thinking about the fact that, you know, we have Kwanzaa, but Kwanzaa has a spiritual and religious, not really through line, but there are people who don't celebrate it because they're celebrating Christmas or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is a completely independent opportunity for us to celebrate ourselves and resilience and all things African-American, basically.
That's right.
And American. It's part of American history because the Underground Railroad was certainly a combination of the efforts of all peoples in the United States and abroad. Harriet used to get money from people in Scotland. They'd send money to help her to participate in her resistance and what I consider to be the revolution that was taking place at the time.
We mentioned money. Earlier you mentioned that she died, you know, with humble means or,
right.
You know, close to poor. How was it that she got her money? You touched on it a little bit, but how is it that she lost her money?
Well, you know, she didn't keep her money. You know, she would keep her money and give it to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And she, but there are a couple of things. One is she had the money and she paid for the house as she could, you know, a bit at a time. But she would give away money. She supported things. She used to sell vegetables and flowers. She'd grow them and sell them. And then she was also swindled.
Mm-hmm.
By some African-American men who came to her and told her that they needed cash, $2,000, if I'm correct. I think it was $2,000 at this time. Again, you know, the history is not totally still in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And in exchange, they found gold during the Civil War, but they couldn't do anything with the gold. And so they'd have the cash, they'd give her the gold, and she got some people to invest. And when she went to give her the money, they actually beat her and stole the money and went on. She had premonitions. You know, Harriet was hit in the head when she was young.
Certainly.
And she knew things. And I like this, and I'm actually writing something else. I'm writing a book, and that's in this. I love the fact that she is like the rest of us because it helps us to be ourselves, it helps us to know that it's not perfect beings who make amazing advances for society and culture. It's a day at a time for everyone, and it took a huge toll on her. She was embarrassed and just devastated by the whole event because she did. She got her friends to invest, and their money was stolen. And so that was big. That was a big blow for her.
Certainly. Do you cover that at all in your play?
It's not in the play. It's not in the play, but it is in the book that I'm doing now. But it's not in the play. And I've written the screenplay for it, too. So I'm working on getting that done. You know, the play is an hour and a half, and it is everything I could possibly cram in there without it being crammed. You know, you want to tell the story well. And she goes for it starts in the contemporary because I think a lot of people don't like history because it has no relevance.
Right.
And so it starts in the contemporary so that we get why it's important to us now.
To know who Harriet is or to know history?
Both. To know who Harriet is and to know our history and to know who we are. I mean, a lot of the play is about who am I, you know? And so it starts then, and then it takes us from her being 6 years old until she's 93. She passed at 93 and then into her afterlife. So it's got a little bit of a metaphysical, spiritual bend at the end as well, and
awesome.
we meet 30 people, and I just couldn't get any more in there.
I hear you. William Steele, let me throw that name out there and have you elaborate on him.
Well, William Steele, of course, was in Philadelphia and just hugely instrumental with the Underground Railroad. He has the book, which is still accessible, and Harriet Tubman's journey with her parents is in that book, and although her name's not mentioned, you can tell by the story. And she was absolutely inspired by him, and he's in the play. I've got that in the play.
Mm.
Their relationship and how she came to participate in the Underground Railroad, and even when she's little, because the Underground Railroad was around a long time. Harriet, some people think she invented the Underground
Railroad.
Started
it, right.
Right. No. And so in the beginning, when she's six, she talks about when she and her father would be in the woods and their perception of what the Underground Railroad was. And she's excited about it, and she says, Daddy says, when you get deep in the woods, it's fine. You come up out in the ground with a big old blinding light, swoop you up perfect in a nice red cushioned seat, carry you all the way to safety, be traveling in luxury, silver trays and butlers. I can't wait. I'm going to treat them real fine, too. I just can't wait. So her perception of what it is, and then when she's actually on it,
traveling through those swamps
and having to go through the woods,
right.
It's another day. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Has the play been videotaped at all? And those of us who can't make it out to West Orange, is there any way for us to purchase or view the
video? It has been
video?
Videotaped. I'm going to do it again. I have a videotape of it. If you go on my website, you can see some clips. I have an audio tape that people can order, and they could email me. And if you go on the website, you can do that. Or my email is onpurposenow@cs.com. And you know, let me know you're interested. I'm about to upgrade my website. You know, it's an ongoing process.
Certainly.
so people can buy it and do PayPal and all of that.
Right.
So I have an audio tape that I like a lot, and the videotape I want to change a little bit. And so soon, very soon. So if you check back, even, or you can always call me, write me. I'm accessible.
Awesome.
Harry, I want Harry to be accessible is what it comes down to. It's not about me.
That's beautiful. Was this an urban legend, or did this actually happen? We hear this throughout history that she actually threatened to shoot and kill individuals on the Underground Railroad who wanted to turn back.
That's
true. Okay.
And it's true because she couldn't afford to have them turn back, get caught, and tell them what they knew.
Right.
You know? So that's why. The story is she never did it. She never shot anybody. They got themselves together and kept going. I do have her a couple of times. We see her on the road in a couple of different circumstances, and one of them is kind of funny, and the other ones, you know, are more serious. And I tried to make the play, it's a play about freedom, for one thing, because people get, I don't want to see a play about slavery, I don't want to be upset, I don't want to be sad. It's not
right.
Sad. You know, we have some sad moments, but that is the part of us that is universal.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody's sadness is generally our sadness. You know, somebody you don't know can start crying, and you go over and go, what, why
right.
are we crying? So it's that. But she definitely was strong, and she grew into strength. She had a strong constitution when she was young, and a strong intention. But she became worldly, and she was brilliant. She was absolutely brilliant. Someone said, "Well, how could she do this when she was illiterate?" She says,
right.
"That had nothing to do with your ability to think and organize." And she had
right.
that. And then she listened to her spirit. She listened to what God told her to do, and paid attention. And there's a lot about that as well. And how when she didn't do it, what the consequences were. So it's in there. That spiritual life force is in there.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Well, unfortunately, we are near the end of our time.
Okay.
Give us the times, once again, of
all
your
right.
upcoming shows, locations, how
okay.
we can get in contact with the theater, and how we can get in contact with you.
It's Luna Stage Company. It's in West Orange, New Jersey. And the phone number is 973-395-5551. It's on Friday and Saturday, this coming Friday and Saturday, June 17th and 18th at 8 p.m., and on Sunday at 3 p.m.
And your contact info. And also, are you on Facebook?
I'm on Facebook, and so is Luna Stage Company. And there's a really nice YouTube, and if you go to my website, you'll see it. And also at Luna Stage's website, you click on plays and performances, and Harriet's Return will come up at Luna Stage. On mine, you click on news and events, and it comes up. But there's a really nice video, and you can see clips of the play, which will help you to know what the show is and how it flows.
Sounds good to me. And then give us your URL one more time.
Mine is Karen Jones Meadows, KarenJonesMeadows.com.
Sounds good. Well, Ms. Meadows, it truly has been a pleasure. You've enlightened me. You've refreshed some things I had in my mind. I'm certain that you enlighten the audience as well. Hopefully they hit Google and all those other searches and start to dig deeper into the life of this great woman in our history. And hopefully mm-hmm. those on the East Coast, those particularly in the New Jersey state, will come out and check you out this weekend.
I certainly hope so. And you take care. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now.